and welcome to what you've all been waiting for.
Our sports worldwide.
You get it? If you don't get it, forget about it.
Tell us about it.
Attention, please. Attention,
this evening,
please.
I stand before you.
This here feels like the whole entire world collapsed.
Jena ke scam motho a expect re wena o tle ka ntlo koloi yena tse le mwana o 6 years o rata thuranta
kantle na why dia ko motjolo ka di original why le tsena ka mara motjolo ka di original feelings skiri ya ariya ina le tenji ali mputis and ke teng for ina ke free for na for lang putsanta ngolong mare boleleng ke di thuseng ke le fatseng ka le botse mo tsholong are ka pelo ena re ka di feelings o ska ka di original ka di originale di di laminetile di di certified copy ya rana le skere ba yao o tya pelo ya hala ke ze di feelings tsa hao o ira di copy ko pelo ngo tlo ngwa le mofatsi o ira di copy di copy tsa o ska di certify o ba le tsona ha ba tsa phone ba di shoot ka phone okay wa rana di le mo phone di le snap ba ira screenshot ba ba tsa that screenshot o romela mshimane o tla ntepo
Yo, para ba ko hai, grocery a dura no. Le makhura ana meletse. E thuto go gana dijo, re le tsholela. Wa, a ke happy show.
As mina ni yathanda ukungikhulumisa kabi kube ngathi umuntu omubi. But you don't want to change your actions. Yini eguwe ethi wena mawufake the most makeup in the world. The most makeup in the world. Uyofuna umuntu ufake isikipa esimhlophe uthi no thing imhagi ngimsule ngayo yonke. Nice skip and sank. It's a spirit leyo nto leyo. Why? And your masses nga fungun haka, will it become the big bad wolf? That's my problem with society here. I'm a blazer, a suffering, I'm a dry clean. Because of this house, I guys, my son isn't to see me too. I say, no.
In the meantime,
this is Zulu word, Tumkotoy. It's not a word that is used normally. There would be people who would want to exploit the condition of our people and behave as Umgodoy behaves. We should be vigilant so that we don't have Umgodoy taking charge of our lives.
Hashtag MSW, live on Soweto Live, Vuma FM and Rise FM. Be a part of it. Hashtag MSW.
Don't touch that.
Suppressing lies and allowing you fresh and unfiltered sporting engagement.
Well, it's not every day that we get international superstars just gliding into our studio. Well, I can tell you that tonight it's one of those days, and we look forward to hosting our guest here tonight, a Ghanaian international. He's already here under the bridge, Ekatlehong. Yeah, I heard Lillian, she's talking about last night's game. It was one of those, yeah. It was, and you're absolutely right. When you look at Kevin De Bruyne and the kind of impact that he had in the match, incredible. I just want to highlight the great work that the Rise FM Drive team did today in honoring Nurses Day and all the individual personal encounters that were spoken about and spoken of, including Lily's very own encounter when she went to the maternity ward, and what a pleasant experience that turned out to be. We love to hear those kind of stories, and we certainly do salute all nurses around the country. So catch them tomorrow, the duo of Lily and Cheese. You cannot go wrong. The Motion Drive, Katebelwela in Upu to 40. Oh! Hopefully one day they get to resolve that. But one thing I also enjoyed was just them highlighting the areas around. We all make and have become victims of making faults. Does that become your problem for the rest of your life? And of course not. So those kinds of engagements and conversations are things that we look forward to. So you can catch them on Vuma FM, the Motion Drive. Make it your listening pleasure each and every day, Monday to Friday. Lekko Motion, Stema Shabana, Big Mike, we thank you. We appreciate you. Catch you tomorrow. Morrow Sports Worldwide kicks in Vuma FM, Sowetan Live, as well as Rise FM. And before we get to our guest here today, Sisho Gisinmingenele Makaya, a golden bedlala pangati emajele. I see kickoff is chatting about Samir Nukovic going to Royal AM. So that is a story that they are currently breaking at the moment. And I can also tell you, Benny McCarthy is around. You said he might pop through here to the bridge just to come and see us. He might not necessarily chat to us. Oh, man. Football. So if you got Benny McCarthy around in SA, you got a couple of clubs that don't have any coaches, what does that say? I know he's here on a mission with one of the sponsors. Ah, but you can't just be in Mzansi and just JBA, what? Makatin, ufunanla. Ausjele, mfan. All right, let me quickly reflect back on the game last night. Pep Guardiola, oh, he could only be happy, can't he?
Yeah, I'm so disappointed to him because he missed the fifth goal in the post. And yeah, what can I say? So, the last I did the second part of the league was beyond perfect. And always a guy like he's so generous, always have the sense to make an assist. But I think this season have the sense to see prolific to score goals. He won the game against Chelsea, he scored a goal against Madrid, and have been decisive scoring goals. This is the at the end of maybe the greatest. And I'm very pleased for him because of course, scoring four goals in the decisive part of the league right now, it's so important. Yeah, so please, for the performance and after, of course, for the result, for the goals, we could score much, much more. Yeah, but now two games left. Was a brilliant performance for all the players, all of them. They read perfectly our free men, and we have incredible good runners with the people up front. Yeah, with an important victory, is we need four more points to be champion, and we're going to try to reach the first three next Sunday. Well, we spoke not now, you know, during the years. You know, you have to arrive to the box, you have to be close to the box, you have to score. And this season, I think, is the the year that has done better and better. Hopefully, he can continue not just this year, you know, for the rest of his career. I have the feeling that now he's started enjoying scoring goals. Before it was just assists, but now I had the feeling that I like when my teammates come to hug me because I score a goal. I think it's good.
A bit of sarcasm there. You can only just admire where Pep Guardiola's mind is at. He knows that one more game, one more victory, because they've been piling up the goals. So the goal difference might be a big problem for Liverpool if anything were to happen. But we always hope for the dramatic nature of football that it goes to the final match. So that was the coach Pep Guardiola very pleased, though, after his side took a step closer to winning the Premier League. For the second season in a row with that 5-1 thrashing of Wolverhampton Wanderers. So after Liverpool beat Aston Villa on Tuesday to move back level on points with the Blues, the pressure returned back to Guardiola City to respond and restore their 3-point lead. And there were also no signs of any nerves from City. Kevin De Bruyne, the superstar on the night. Let's come back home. The Premier Soccer League, well, they've confirmed Orlando Pirates' surprise decision on the disciplinary committee matter involving TS Galaxy president Tim Sugazi. He also said that Kaizer Chiefs will still have to answer for the failure to honor the fixtures against Cape Town City, as well as Golden Arrows due to the COVID outbreak in Naturena. So what does that all mean? That is why we've got the man himself to explain himself.
Zola Majavu, PSL prosecutor. A quick update on the matters currently before the PSL DC. Firstly, I can confirm that Orlando Pirates Football Club has elected to take the DC ruling in respect of its case pertaining to the manhandling of Mr. Sugazi on appeal, as they are perfectly entitled to do so. That appeal will be adjudicated upon under the auspices of SAFA, and once that matter has been finalized, I will confirm the outcome thereof. Secondly, Kaizer Chiefs Football Club will be appearing before the PSL DC tomorrow, being the 13th of May, to answer to charges of fielding defaulters, namely Messrs. McCarthy and Shabalala, in a fixture between themselves and Sekhukhune FC. This matter was previously postponed to tomorrow at the request of Kaizer Chiefs, which request was acceded to by the DC. Similarly, once that matter is finalized by the DC, I will communicate the outcome thereof. Thirdly, Kaizer Chiefs would be appearing before the PSL DC on 17 May 2022 at 1600 hours. This is a continuation of the matter that was previously on the roll, which I withdrew after the arbitrator's award under the hand of advocate Nazir Kasim SC had found that the Chiefs were justified in not fulfilling those fixtures due to an act of God with specific reference to the COVID situation. The PSL Executive Committee, as it was also perfectly entitled to do so, elected to challenge that outcome and took it on review. In the result, I decided not to proceed further with that particular case, but rather to await the outcome of that review in the High Court. I can now confirm that the review in the High Court was finalized on 10 May 2022, and as an excerpt taken directly from that court order, I can confirm that the award of advocate Kasim SC was reviewed and set aside and replaced with an order to the effect that the PSL football department manager's decision, and as subsequently confirmed by the executive committee's decision of the league, have been confirmed, and in the result, the referral to arbitration was equally set aside. That being the case, I have decided to then proceed with the case that I had placed in abeyance, in terms of which Kaizer Chiefs must still come before the DC and account for their non-fulfillment of those fixtures. Of course, I'm aware that those fixtures were rescheduled and subsequently played by Kaizer Chiefs and the affected clubs. However, the outcome thereof has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that a misconduct was committed, and it remains up to the PSLDC to decide whether or not the league would have proved its case on allegations of misconduct. Without preempting the outcome thereof, it is prudent to await the final decision of the PSLDC. However, I can confirm that I'm proceeding with that matter, which is why it has been enrolled for hearing for the 17th of May. It is nothing new. It has always been an issue that I placed on record that upon the finalization of the review case, I will consider my options depending on the outcome thereof. And in the light of the order which I had already explained, I deemed it prudent then to bring this matter to finality and re-enroll the matter, as I did. Again, once the PSLDC has pronounced its decision on that matter, I will similarly confirm the outcome thereof in the intervening period. And as always, I will not be drawn into any commentary on any of these matters. Thank you for your understanding and end of the release.
All right, Zolama Jav, we're not being drawn into any further commentary on those rulings, but some interesting rulings. So Orlando Pirates, the manhandling case where they manhandled the chairman of the club, Tim Sugazi, they're going to be taking that one on appeal. So I would imagine that they would also not be writing any letter of apology anytime soon. So we'll wait and see what kind of appeal they put on the table, Orlando Pirates. So Kaizer Chiefs appear before the DC tomorrow for fielding defaulters. And then Kaizer Chiefs reappear again in front of the DC on the 17th of May, dealing with the Kasim ruling. PSL exec challenged the review, so the review finalized right now. So that was set aside and replaced by what looks like they're going to be proceeding with the case of the DC as it was originally placed. So Zolomajia was saying that there was misconduct committed, so they will go ahead with the misconduct charge. But also Majav were confirming a new date for Cape Town City's chairman, his appearance before the DC. Remember, this charge lays mainly on what John Committers had to say on this very show.
A further update is that I can confirm that Mr. John Committers will also be appearing before the PSL DC on 19 May 2022 to answer to charges of bringing the league into disrepute on account of the allegations he made on various social media platforms. And I can also confirm that this matter was previously postponed to the 19th at the request of Mr. Committees, which request was acceded to by the PSLDC and not opposed by myself as the prosecutor. In the result, we are hopeful that the matter will be finalized on the 19th of May. And once the outcome thereof has been arrived at by the PSLDC, I will similarly make it public. And as always, until then, no further commentary will be entertained by myself. Thank you for your understanding. End of the release.
This mafiaism that is going on in South African football is useless. It's led by people who are non-thinkers, who don't know anything about football. And yet they bring in their mafia tactics into the game without results. Pathetic.
It's about time that we focus on the management. There are no results. You don't qualify for even the World Cup. So the management must change also.
Sina sidinga amadoda ane action. Hayi abazokhalisa kwezingane. Sifuna uaction. Ngiyabonga baba.
On the issue of SAFA presidency, they don't have the interests of the country at hand. I wonder what's there keeping them there so long. The carrot must be big there for them.
No man, we are sick and tired of Danny Jordan. We no longer want Danny Jordan at SAFA.
Zimbinjaba!
Marawa Sports Worldwide, Monday to Friday weekdays. Hashtag MSW. Inquisitive.
Uzanga semuva. Ukubulala ngalane muva.
Fun. It's radio.
You know, when your guest says, just hold on a bit, man, I love the sound of this tune. I have to obey. I mean, who am I to go against his wishes? Hey, so I have to obey. Otherwise, he might just pack up his bags and say, you know what, you're wasting my time here. I'm going back home. Oh, man. As I said, it's not every day that we get such quality of guests coming through into the studio. Now, you know the beauty of African football is that we are extremely, extremely competitive as opponents and nations on the pitch. Now, I mean, we make sure that we celebrate our stars whenever they visit our shores and whenever ours visit other countries as well. I can tell you for sure, they are held in very, very high esteem. And that's what football does. I mean, we love and respect each other for hosting our continent aloft. You know, when you start to hoist and you put it out there into the world and people say, oh, you're from Africa. Okay. Afrik to suit, no? Afrik to West. And that's the case right now. And tonight is no different. I mean, we're celebrating one of the continent's superb talents. He was part of Ghana's squad during the 2010 FIFA World Cup right here in South Africa. And is back on home soil. He's a retired legend, but he looks as fit as a fiddle. He could join any side here in the Premier Soccer League tomorrow. Maybe he's here to sign a contract. Who knows? Hans Adu Sapé, our Ghanaian legend. Good evening and welcome to South Africa. And welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling you still can play a little bit of football?
I feel very well, but playing football, no. I've retired like now 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so better watching the game and sitting with you here talking about the game, it's better than playing it.
It's a bit more fulfilling, eh?
Yeah, of course, of course.
How are you? You're 45 years old only.
Yeah, 45. Which player is playing with 45? Nobody, oh.
Hey. No, we saw with Roger Miller, we're still waiting for people to break that record at the highest level.
No, when you are 45, you get to one point. When you wake up every morning, you get pain. Pain, 20 years playing football, and then your body say, it's enough.
So you don't punish it anymore?
No.
But how difficult a decision was it for you to call it quits? I mean, this is a game you've dedicated your entire life to.
Yeah, normally it was easy because when I retired, I go fast to my new work, mm-hmm. working on TV station, be the expert for games, speaking about the game. So it was not so hard. I liked it to stop because, how I told you, the work, every time training, hard. The new guys are coming, 18 years old.
They're tackling you.
That's why it become to one point you say, now it's over. Mm-hmm. The new generation should take over.
So you're loving the new job because when you step into a studio and you become an analyst and sometimes you know, the glare of the cameras, the lights, and you know that so many people are watching you out there. Was that a natural thing for you? I know that you and cameras, I was even saying the other day, you and Netflix, all sorts of things. You, the host, and I'm like, hey, Hans is doing some magic out there. How was that transition for you?
It was not easy. A new job. It's, you know, but when I play football, I go to training. I learn, and then on Saturday, Sunday, the game, I must improve everything. And this is the same. You need to work, learn how to be the analyst, how to speak, what to do. And that's why it's also the same thing. But the football helped me.
Yes.
So I worked again hard to get also success in this way of work.
I mean, I've worked extensively with a fellow Ghanaian of yours and of the world and of Germany and of Bayern Munich, and I'm talking about Sammy Kofor. So we worked extensively on the UEFA Champions League and World Cups and so on. And he loved the analysis. In fact, he was as passionate in studio as he was on the football field. And you know how Sammy was always passionate. He hated losing.
Yes.
And so he hated watching the Black Stars play. And he hated watching them play when they're losing, especially. But when they're winning, he is almost throwing chairs in the air in studio. You know, so I talk about that passion, but you're a completely different character because you're more controlled, you're more calm as well. Did you ever chat to him about this new dimension that you've both taken?
Yeah, when I was in Ghana, every time when I'm there, I'm going to meet Sammy.
Yeah.
We are talking about past playing and then now standing in the studio and talking about the game and how you say, we are totally different. He's going out, he's like feeling the game in on the studio.
Yeah.
And me, I'm calm, I'm watching and I'm not going that way out, but I think that's the way. Mm-hmm. Everybody need to be like he is. Mm-hmm. And Sammy is someone who want to show how he's feeling the game with the players. And me, I'm more control looking the tactic of the play of the coach, of the players, mm-hmm. what they are doing, but at the same time I'm feeling the pain of the players when they lose or also when they win. Of course, that's why normally when I watch games, I need to be alone.
Hmm.
When the crowd are with me, then and they are talking and they are talking bullshit, then I don't like it.
Beep beep. The views are Hans. Hurry, hear him. Yeah, but I hear you, and that's why I'm going to say that maybe some of what we don't know is that when you are where you are, spending a lot of your time in Germany, you analyze in German.
Yes.
As well, you speak the language.
Yes.
And that's why you're going to be helping me just now when we link to the news at 6 o'clock. You will tell the listeners in Germany.
In Germany?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That we it's like 6 o'clock now and we're going to head off to the news. We'll tell you who's going to read the news and I'll leave it in your hands because I'm chatting to a fellow broadcaster right now. Who's a football legend. And after the news, you and I are going to be chatting about all sorts. I mean, we know your journey in Ghana. We know your journey in Germany. You could have played for Germany, but you chose to go and play for your native country, Ghana.
Yes.
How difficult that decision was, what it entailed. But also, the part of what we see now. I mean, we see players wearing the armband and it's written on the jerseys, away with racism and so on. And I know for sure in Germany you would have experienced racism at its highest level and what that meant to you. Did that ever break your confidence? What did that even do to you? So I look forward to that conversation because I think it is one of those things that when we get people of your caliber coming into the country, you'll also tell us why you're in South Africa.
Yeah.
Because I get worried. I get worried. There's Benny McCarthy here. There's Clarence Seedorf that's in the country, and so on and so forth. So I look forward to that conversation. Be a part of it, though. 060-708-0484. 060-708-0484. So any question that you have for our guest, as he now, in German, takes us to the news at 6. Over to you, Hans.
In German, you're right.
Yeah, I want to hear this German.
It's Phila Duma and Andil Nkosi.
Yes, and then just tell us that we are now going to the news. Say it in German.
Und jetzt gehen wir zu den Nachrichten.
Into the Nachrichten. Worldwide. Let me welcome Dennis Mumble, former SAFA CEO and also former COO. Do you believe that Danny Jordan is both a referee and a player in terms of this election process?
Robert, I want to stay away from making this a person-to-person issue.
Right.
You know, they are dragging an institution in a way that it's not supposed to go. There seems to be an attempt from within SAFA to control the outcome of the election to ensure an outcome that doesn't include those candidates who have been announced, whether it's Nomsa Mahlangu, Israel Adwaba, and Solimo Hlabeng.
Yes.
I think there is
and attempt to close them out. Who is doing that? I can't tell you.
Marawa Sports Worldwide, Monday to Friday weekdays. Hashtag MSW, inquisitive.
Uza ngasemuva, ukubulala, ngalane muva.
Fun. It's radio.
Kevin Tepron Teba Marawa Wolves, Manchester match rap. Tepron, very astonishing, impressive player. Scoring 4 goals and breaking many records. The final score here is 5-1. Tobat Zio Wolves. Don't take care, 11 minutes. Then in bold, Tepron 4-1 Sterling. Man City 5 shots on targets equal to 5 counted goals. Yes, Man City takes home 3 points. I must say, until as a Man City to win EPL, Zivulegele 2 games to go. Man City remains on position 1 with 89 points. MSW, Tepron got to an airport and not just got to an mic. MSW, and I'm Sasbia.
Good evening, Bob Marawa. The situation with Orlando Pirates and the owner of TS Galaxy is so very interesting. Now they're appealing that, I think it was a slap in the face, to be exactly, for justice in that regard. I can agree with the boss of TS Galaxy, because what they've given Pirates, I think it was an insult for that matter. But I'm watching that one with a lot of very good interest in that regard. And great show as always from Max in Pretoria.
Good evening, Samarawa. It's Simpiwe here. Simpiwe X here in Tembisa. I'm listening to the conversation between yourself and the legend from Ghana. At some point, I heard you mentioning working in the studio in relation to the conversation you're having with the gentleman there. And I even remember the haircut that you once gave Sammy Kofo live on TV. And now the mere fact that we can only rely on radio to get to hear your voice, I feel like we as the football-loving, not just only football, but sports-loving people, we subscribe to these, how can I say, to these TV services or whatever. But now you're not there. We can't see you on TV. And we, those who subscribe and claim to love you and all that, we're saying nothing about it. Because I believe we do, in a sense, have power to somehow voice out our dissatisfaction and try to play our part in ensuring that you are back where you're supposed to be, because it just cannot be such a great talent and we only rely on radio to get to interact with you. We used to watch you every Thursday, every Monday, every weekend basically. So I guess we should be doing something. Thanks for your great show, Semarawa. Much love from this side. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You know, when the kids start to say mama, mama, then you have to drop the phone. Focus. Oh, man, I love that call. But thank you very much indeed for the vote of confidence. Thank you for believing in what we do. All I can say is, you know, I'm fired from these platforms because of politics, man. That's a straightforward thing. It's got nothing to do with the work that I've done. It's got nothing to do with what I've done on TV, on radio. It's got to do with politics externally. That is instructions that are given to get rid of Marawa. It's a simple thing. I became used to it. It's okay. I go to sleep, clear conscious, no issue. But the fact that you saying what you're saying, for me, it gives me, you know, a form of validation and appreciation for you appreciating what we do. But I can tell you, it's not even a fraction about me tonight. 0607080484. Let's get into a beautiful conversation, because I know that we can only learn from that. Hansadu Sape is my guest, international, but also dual citizenship became a big issue of debate around, and for whatever reason, a lot of the Ghanaian players found themselves having or claiming dual citizenship. But take me back to when you made a decision to say, you know what, as much as I can play for Germany, I choose to go to Ghana. We had a similar thing here, sorry, just to take you back, where we had a player called Sean Dundee,
Yeah, I know him.
They came to play Bafana Bafana here at the Johannesburg Stadium. And he was, he had actually been selected. But he knew that if he had to get onto that field, then he stands zero chance of playing for Germany ever again or at all. So he chose not to play for Bafana Bafana, chose to play for Germany, but ended up not even playing for Germany. You know, so, you know, that's just how crazy it is. But you were adamant. Did you even debate? Was it a matter of debate for you?
Also for, I think also for Sean Dundee, it was not easy because you have it's two parts. The one say play for Germany, the other say play for Ghana, and for him also the other say play for South Africa. And in my point, it was like, I need to say, I went to Germany when I was 3 years old,
yes.
And then went back to Ghana the first time when I was 20.
Oh, wow.
20. The first time when I get the call up for the national team.
That is crazy.
And of course, I grew up in Germany. I know everything. But the feeling was a thing of feeling.
Yeah.
And to decide to play for Ghana and also play, talking with Otto Addo, who played for Ghana, and Charles Akonoa. I played with him in Wolfsburg. And only my feeling told me, yeah, go to play with Ghana. And then when I was flying the first time to Ghana and the plane landed and the door opened and I went out,
yeah,
and the air came in my face, I knew it was the right decision. I knew I'm home. I can't tell you why.
It was like a warm air.
The warm air was there, and I say, yeah, I made the right decision to play for Ghana.
And you never had any second thoughts after that. That was the decision. That was the door opening on that aeroplane to say disembark, and you felt at home immediately.
Yeah, immediately I felt at home. It was not. I never regret it.
Yeah.
I never say, yeah, maybe when I've played for Germany, maybe I would play other teams or that. No. The feeling with the guys is a total different, like in the Bundesliga, yes, when you're on the team. And I think this was the almighty God say, you need to know this feeling. Mm. This with the group, how the country is, and that's why I'm happy that I played for Ghana.
Because you are not playing for any Mickey Mouse team in Germany, in the Bundesliga. I mean, you were playing for Wolfsburg. You were playing for Bayer Leverkusen. You know, those are teams that are very difficult to crack into. So I think that is why the Ghana FA could not ignore your presence. They had to make the call or to issue a call-up because you were eligible to play for them. But then it was also up to you to make that decision whether you accept or you don't accept. And I get your story, and I understand it. But what was the reception like? What was it like with fellow Ghanaians, whether they were playing internationally, overseas, or they were playing locally? How did you adapt to them, or them adapting to you?
For the beginning, it was difficult.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult, because the group of players who grew up in Ghana and then went out to play international, they know each other from when they was playing youth together. And me coming in the group at the first is like, for them was like, what he want here? Why? He never was with us, and they was watching you, your behavior, and they're also watching you. Can he eat the Ghanaian food?
Yes.
How he eat? He eat with the hand or how? And when they see I do everything like them, it was like, yeah, he's one of us. Mm-hmm. And but also how they play the game was different.
Sure.
And also that I need to know, improve also different how the call up and the trainer position. And in Germany everything is going on the right point. The coach say 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock. When I came there, they say 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I'm there, the German, nobody else.
Yeah, then 8 o'clock is 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's the different, and I need to learn and understand. That's the way.
Yes,
and that's why it was very difficult. But because I got the players like Otto Addo, who are also playing in Germany, and they already was there, or the captain that time, Charles Akonor, who I was playing in Wolfsburg together. So I get also the pressure from him in the club, also in Wolfsburg. So he's telling me every time, yeah, you need to play for Ghana. We need you. Yeah, we need you. Yeah. And they helped me when I came there. So it was, of course, at the end, easy.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get to Otto Addo later on, though, because, man, he's made a massive turnaround in Ghanaian fortunes. I know that there was a lot of beef between us as South Africa and Ghana.
Yes.
You know, I also made a couple of comments that would have, even with my colleagues there that I love so much in Ghana, would have them off. But the beautiful thing is that is football, that is banter. But I'll talk about him later on. But did it disappoint you somewhat? You talk about structure. And we have, in this country, somebody who has featured prominently in the Bundesliga, Ernst Buddendorp. Again, from the way he dresses, from what he does, the training, the drills, it's discipline. That's why people talk about German efficiency.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But here in Africa, we talk of African time. Mm. And yet we are also very proud that African time means that it's not the time that you said it was going to be. It's going to be any other time. So how do you take something like that, knowing your upbringing, and then coming to Africa where everything is just like, whatever.
Yeah, it's not easy, because how you are saying, the discipline is very important for the game. You know, when you are the coach, you need to tell your players what to do.
Right.
And when there's no discipline, they will not do, and you will lose, and they will sack you. And this is it. It starts from telling the guys 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock is the appointment, and when they don't come, the discipline of the group is not there.
Mm.
And this style of way I've learned, of course, that you need to make it right. And but they don't. We African, how you say, yeah. African time.
Yes.
We haven't learned it. But it's not. It's a different, little bit different, because, like when you are in Europe, when you want to drive with the bus is coming. They write 8:15. It's coming 8:15. Mm. When you are in Africa, you wait till the bus is come,
and then whatever time it is.
And then you drop in and go, and then the appointment, it's 9, but the bus was late. What you should do? So you need to understand the guys sometimes. But from the beginning till now, it's changed. Now the players are going better, and the coaches also.
When I come back from the break, I'll pick up on that, because, you know, we've also picked up on the fact that, as much as, let's say, Hans, you've come back from Germany, get part of the national team, but then you find a lot of the international players then start to do what the local players do, and they take advantage of not being in a European setup, and the discipline just goes off the wall. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back after this. Marawa Sports Worldwide. Let me welcome Dennis Mumble, former SAFA CEO and also former COO. There's no campaign that can take 14 days, regardless of whatever you're campaigning for.
I've also not heard of anything that the SAFA National Executive Committee has approved in that respect that says a campaign may only start in 14 days. And this is why I think it was never decided, because it's unfair. First of all, SAFA has 63 members. And if you are going to be constrained to 14 days to campaign, that means you will have to visit at least 4 members or more, just over 4 members per day. It's impossible. You can't do that. So the only only message that you can take away from that is that the incumbents who are in control of that message that came via the CEO are the ones who are issuing those directives, and they're making it up as they go along. I don't think they are that stupid to issue a directive like that.
Marawa Sports Worldwide, Monday to Friday weekdays. Hashtag MSW. Honest.
I don't want any.
Deliberate.
Those that are going to go.
Engaging. Uncensored.
We're not South African.
And most importantly, independent in mind.
Ayla.
And execution.
Good evening, Rob. It's Deboja here. Rob, you're talking to one of the greatest fullbacks that has ever emerged from Africa. I just want to ask Hans, with him having to have a stellar career in the German Bundesliga, if yet you had to be asked by a youngster what attributes one has to have to play or play as much as you've played in the German Bundesliga? And lastly, what is it that is required from African football that can enable us to compete with these European countries, particularly in the World Cup stages? Thank you so much, and all the best, Rob. It's the Boya.
Good evening, Mr. Marawa. Ukuluma nosibongelene kwamkwane kamgayo Matafen. Ah, what a player, Mr. Marawa. Mr. Marawa, I wish him all the best in future. Thank you, Mr. Marawa.
Oh, man, one of the best, of course. That is why he's here. He'll tell us why he's in the country. I haven't even asked him. I'm scared to ask him. Oh, if you're just joining us, then Hans Adusope is my guest. Do send us your WhatsApp voice notes. Lots of them coming through. We encourage that. I keep telling you, it's not every day that we get caliber of guests of this nature. 060-7080484. Hashtag MSW. You're live on Vuma FM, Sowetan Live, as well as Rise FM. I think it's on a day that the top 10 highest paid athletes in 2022 was released. I want to get Hans's reaction before I get to Deboko's question. Lionel Messi is the highest paid athlete in 2022. $130 million. LeBron James is number two, $121.2 million. Cristiano Ronaldo is number three, $115 million. Neymar. Who would have fancied Neymar in the top four? $95 million. And of course, Steph Curry tops it in the top five with $92.8 million. So in that list, you get Kevin Durant, Roger Federer, Canelo Alvarez, Tom Brady. No one's earning less than $80.9 million. Frightening figures. Hans, let's quickly touch on that because, you know, as we chat, we also got to talk about what is current. And this is Karen. This was released just as we were about to go on air tonight.
My name is not on it.
I was flipping. I went through top 10, top 20, top 30. And I'm like, no, man, Hans has got to be here somewhere. When I get to top 50, I was like, no, the show. Let's start the show. I'll keep looking. Was it like this in your time?
No, it's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
It's crazy, yes, of course. Oh. How they earn, you can't tell people that a football player is earning something, 100 million, and on the other side there are children who don't have anything to eat, and it's not normal. It's not. That's why I think a lot of people say, arguing because football, why they get so much money, what's the problem? And I think, yeah, but it's the game, football. Everybody wants to watch the game, want to watch the players, and the players are, it's not their fault. You give them the money and they say, yes, of course, I would also take it and play. That's why, yeah, but at the end, we must see what is happening in the world, and everybody, also the players who earn this lot of money, they need to give back something for other people who who are suffering a lot of more than we don't know.
I mean, we've seen people like Sadio Mane build hospitals, so they've not been scared to donate. Dikembe Mutombo, the famed basketball NBA player, he's built hospitals, he's built schools, he's not afraid. He still does it now with the NBA, the Basketball Without Borders campaign. So he does it. He's not afraid to do that because he knows that what he's earned is ridiculous, especially when it comes back home into a current currency and you convert it. It's ridiculous amounts of money. I know you long left Wolfsburg in, what, 2007. What are you getting paid?
Wolfsburg, 2007.
Yeah.
I don't know. 20,000? 30-something? Something like that.
A week?
No. In Germany, it's months. It's not, we're not in England. that because that's what's mine.
So that was a month.
A month. Because that's Wolfsburg. This time was my team where I played first division before I was in the second division.
Yeah.
Changing from second division to the first division, and when you see the amount of money now, there are players, they get money, and I'm watching and I'm saying, he's a professional soccer player. He get this money. He's not on the top level. He's somewhere in the middle or more down. And he earned money that he can give out in his whole life. But we can't say anything about to the players. It's about everybody in the whole world. Everybody want to watch this game.
Oh, yeah.
They love this game. And the money is there. They are paying, and yes,
I suppose Hans.
Maybe I need to be now 20 and play and get also some of the money.
Maybe coach, because some of the coaches also are top earners. I mean, if you see a Pep Guardiola, you look at a Jose Mourinho. They've always consistently been the top earners. I think obviously Fergie, through so many years of dedication, being in one team, sure, he would have also been one of the top earners. But you talk about modern current coaches, it's Jose, it's Pep, it's that caliber of coaches. Let me not forget, let me go back to Deboho's question. He asked about what sort of attributes would you need. So if one of the players that are listening now would want to know what sort of caliber of footballer do you have to be able to crack it in the Bundesliga?
Yeah, I don't think it's only a Bundesliga or Europe. I think also when in Africa, every footballer need the same attitude. And first of all, you need to have talent.
Yeah.
And the talent bring you to one step where everybody say, yeah, he can play football, he's a good player. But then you need to put the work inside.
Yeah.
I think the work, the mentality of working, liking to work, to give everything more than players you are playing with. I think these two types will bring you to a good level also in Europe or in Africa, to be a professional football player.
He also asked about when you compare. It was almost like he was listening to an off-air conversation during the break because we're trying to... I think we were picking up on that whole African time. We're not taking the game too seriously. We've had Mamadou Gaye on this show criticizing, especially the Ivorian team with all the superstars not winning anything. For a very long time. How would you compare trying to get, you know, us as Africans, and we were even touching on the fact that, you know, Africa, if it continues this way, we will never smell getting into a World Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
But in Europe, you see the ascendancy of a Belgium. And where was Belgium a couple of years ago? You see Iceland. And you say, where was Iceland? And look at their population. But Africa, with all of the millions and millions and millions of people here, we still can't break the mold. So what would it take, in your opinion, for that to be broken so that we can get to that level?
First of all, our team or our players, we have the team to make it.
Yeah.
Because when you see the players before or not also now, they are playing on the top professional teams in Europe. And how you say the time when Ivory Coast, the team was unbelievable. Sure. And they don't want anything, you can't believe it. And I think the problem is, first of all, we have only 5 teams to go to World Cup. Mm-hmm. The European teams have more chances to win the World Cup. This is the number one. And second, the teams are professional than we are.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
Like, we, like 2010, we are playing Ghana in South Africa. We played. The coach told us how to play, and the team was so good with players, so we make it our own, you know, on the field. But when you are in Europe, like the German national team, they make video analysts. They show them how the opponent will play, the first player, the striker, how he score, how he run, what effort he will do, the goalkeeper, where he will jump every time, where if you hit the post more right, more left. And this is the professional type we need to bring in our teams, more to analyze the opponent. And there we are very low also now. And I think this is the next step where we must build new coaches, so that they help the head coaches.
Let's make it practical. The famous game against Uruguay. FNB, Johannesburg, FIFA World Cup. What a big occasion. Big occasion for Ghana. You know, we were all behind you. They even mentioned that it's Bagana, because we were long kicked out of the World Cup, so we adopted Ghana as our national team. So would you say that even in that 2010 team, based on what you're saying now, you would have not had that level of technical know-how, technical analysis, video analysts, those breakdowns were absent?
Yeah. I would tell you the truth.
Yeah.
We didn't have, because I know how in Germany, in the Bundesliga, we work.
Yes.
What we get from our analysts before the game, which video analyst they will show us, and at the World Cup, we didn't get it. I don't know why. But I was player, and it was not for me to ask why we didn't analyze the opponent. For me, I know we have a good team. We go out and we kick them. this is my job.
Yes.
And the other job need to come from the coach, from everybody outside who are supporting us. And I think maybe also it's the same when you make a penalty shootout, then you know the players who will shoot where they will kick for the goalkeeper, or also for us. The goalkeeper of the opponent, he is every time falling right, shoot left. We haven't never discussed this, you know, and that's it's not. Not to say we are not doing everything to win the World Cup, but I think maybe we was not thinking about it because in the past we haven't done it, and now they are not thinking about why we need to do it. You know, it's the same like we are saying at the past we say, hey, we are coming African time.
Yes.
And now then when we are still there, we say, hey, it's African time. We are joking. It's African time. Don't take it too serious. It's we did it every time.
Yeah. So we get away with it. So let's carry on with it.
Yes.
All right. After the break, I'm going to find out from you what your thoughts on Luis Suarez and what he did, because he broke our hearts, that man. He broke our hearts. Not only Ghanaian hearts, all our hearts. Broken. Pasha P. After this. He is Riele Dwaba's representative on all issues legal. No further letters from SAFA. Nothing.
Nothing.
What's Mum Riele Dwaba's state of mind right now? Have you had a word with her?
She's okay.
Is she still keen to run for the office of president of SAFA?
No, there's no choice about it. There's no two ways about it. She's going to run for the presidency of SAFA. The problem is the following. The letter is not addressed specifically to Riele Dwaba. It's addressed to all and sundry. So to take up the point that we're taking, we say, well, it's unfair that you have only 14 days to campaign for an election, but at the same time, we're saying that's not an illegal issue that I have to deal with. There are other pressing issues that I'll deal with at the appropriate time.
For you, what legally are you mandated to do right now after the events of yesterday?
As we speak now, nothing has happened to Riele Dwaba. For now, nothing. There's no course of action to take for now. Marawa Sports Worldwide,
Monday to Friday weekdays. Hi, Robert. Hi, MSW listeners. I want to say I'm happy about these boys from England who are coming to Ghana to play. But I'm just sad that they just chose to come after the guys have qualified, because the qualification has been hard. So now who's going to be dropped for them to participate in the World Cup? But I'm happy. No matter how long you play international, no matter how, even if you were born there, It doesn't change the fact that you are African and you will always be African. So I'm happy with the guys. I hope they get along with the guys that has always been there. So yeah, man, a big shout out to the legend, hashtag MSW.
Thank you so much indeed. We're talking with the man here who has for Ghana represented them at four major competitions from 2000 to 2010, including the 2006 World Cup in Germany, 2008 Africa Cup of Nations, 2010 Africa Cup of Nations, including the 2010 FIFA World Cup right here in South Africa. Once and for all, we need you to get it off your chest and for all of Africa to know your feelings. I've read about it somewhere. Maybe you've changed your mind. I don't know. But there's a gentleman, I think Asamoah Gyan said he almost punched him when Sunderland played against Liverpool. Said he gave him an eye, but then he thought, no, he's not going to punch him. So what Luis Suarez did for the African continent, which was shameful, what do you make of it now on reflection?
It's there's still pain.
Yeah.
There's still pain what you have done. And at this moment, I only thought, Asamoah Gyan will make the goal, and we didn't think about Suarez. But how he celebrate after we missing the penalty, and everything was happening there, was unreal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you were in a movie and everybody's watching that you are kicked out, because at this time I think we was the better team and the whole world was supporting us to go to the semifinals and to be the first African team going to the semifinal will be great. And I know where we went to the semifinals, everything can happen.
Mm.
And we could take the cup home to Africa. But thinking about that, it's there's no good feeling. And Suarez is lucky that I haven't played against him after that.
What would you do?
Nothing, only play like football is when you play one against one sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you might do something.
You try to hit the ball and you miss the ball and
it might connect with you. So I mean, it sounds like it does hurt as a human. It should. I mean, you spoke earlier about Otto Addo. He's seen right now as a Ghanaian hero, but it was obviously up to his club, who he's an assistant coach and a scout to release him.
Yes.
Or to get to an agreement where he can do both. So that agreement has come through now. And in all likelihood, he's the man to lead Ghana to Qatar, to the World Cup, with this technical team intact. Tell me your thoughts about that decision.
Yeah. First of all, we didn't get a good AFCON.
Yeah.
And there needed to be some changes, because before of this AFCON, Otto was also already the assistant coach, and so he knew the group, he knew the players, and also his lot of work before in Dortmund and in Gladbach, his team. So he has also the experience to coach a team, and that's why. I think it was a right decision to take him. And after the two games, you can see there was a change. Also, he don't have a lot of time to work with the group. Mm. And how I know Otto, and he also grew up in Germany, he worked like the European coaches, and I think this is what the Ghana team need. Mm. And you can see we have good players, but in the games before, there was, I think, there some no discipline. They don't work together. Mm. And when he came, he made it. And I think everybody was happy. The way also we qualified. Of course, we need some luck. We got it also, and I'm happy that the Ghana Federal Association gets Otto and agree with Dortmund that he can lead the national team to the World Cup, and I hope he can make some difference, and they can show a good style of playing and make Ghana proud and make Africa also proud.
No, absolutely. So you feel, on a personal level, you feel that it's the right choice that the Ghana FA made in taking Otto to the World Cup as the head coach, despite a lot of people already saying that he doesn't have the experience, maybe they should get somebody else. You feel right decision?
Yeah, of course, it's the right decision because he made it with the two games. Yeah. You can get Otto and as a coach, and he won the two games against Nigeria, and now take another coach and go to the World Cup. It will be not fair.
Yeah.
And he tried everything to be the coach because he have a contract also in Dortmund, and he made it so that Dortmund will let him go, and this fact shows he's working double, triple more than other coaches because he have his work to do with Dortmund, and he work in the whole other time for Ghana.
And because we all serve a living God, then Ghana gets Uruguay in the group. The same Uruguay of Luis Suarez that tore the hearts. They get Portugal of Cristiano Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. They get South Korea. Fine. But you can tell the pattern. You can see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
What do you make of that group?
It's a difficult group for everybody. Not only for Ghana. It's a very difficult group because you can beat all of the teams. You can beat Uruguay, you can beat Portugal, you can beat South Korea. But when you don't focus, they can beat you.
Yeah.
And that's what make it nice. Mm-hmm. Because we can go to the World Cup and say, yeah, we can make it. And against Uruguay, of course, I think a lot of Ghanaian or also African will take this game as a revenge.
Oh, it's going to be personal.
Maybe Suarez will play also there. I don't know which player is still there. Only I think Dede Ayew.
Yeah.
He will feel the pain.
Yeah.
And the best way is to win.
Yeah.
To give him back this feeling. So we should not think about 2010 again. We should stay on 2022 and win and show that Africa, Ghana, the football, we are coming back and are on point on the highest level in the world.
When yourself and Gerald Asamoah took him out, Otto, when he got back to Germany after making sure that Ghana get into the World Cup finals in Qatar, what was he like? I mean, what was his response like to you? I mean, I'm just asking you to take us into your confidence. This is not there's press conference answers that people give because they have to be a certain way. Then there's a dinner table where you're saying cheers and there's red wine and whatever it is that you're consuming at the time. And the person's a bit more free. I mean, what can you draw us into confidence about that you picked up in his reaction to you? As well as everybody else that was at the table.
Oh, I think the reaction is you are free first when you are sitting there, you come back, you make it, then everything fall down first. Like, hey, yeah, we make it, and your friends are there. They are behind you. They are cheering you. I think also when he didn't make it, we will be there for him. And we only wanted to show him that he's a great, great, great coach. Mm. Also that some guys say he haven't coached a team, but we want to give him support so that he have confidence for himself to say, yeah, he can make it with Ghana. He have everything as a coach to lead Ghana. Mm. I think also you need this. You need the style. Everybody must see that you are big coach. And this dinner with for Otto was only to celebrate him. To feel free, he was not in Ghana to speak his experience, what happened, because we only saw the game.
Yeah.
But behind, a lot of things happened where he was saying to me, a lot of things must change.
Sure.
For the way to the World Cup, and he's new, and he saw a lot of things which he have all wrote on his nice. Map, and he's trying to change step by step before going to the World Cup. And this time the World Cup is also different.
Yeah.
He don't have a lot of time to work with the players and have friendly games before the first game, and that's why he need to work already to get also players who never played for Ghana and maybe. They want now to play for Ghana going to the World Cup, because we have a lot great, great player. And when everybody of them decide to play for Ghana, Uruguay and Portugal, they should wear some warm things.
They should be scared. Very quickly, I've got 1 minute left. What brings you to South Africa? I know that you and Coach Dromovich are very good friends.
Yeah.
The TS Galaxy coach. What brings you this side?
Yeah, Coach Sead Dromovich, I played with him in Wolfsburg 3 years, and we are every time catching, speaking about his time now here in South Africa, that he's a coach, and what he has done for this team. Also, when he came, the team was, I have only 2 points, and they need to know the team, to find also the league. And now he can make it. When they win the next game, they will stay in the league, and it's incredible. And I want to show him also, like Otto, I'm there for him, I'm behind him, sure. And speak also to Tim Tsukasi, because he supported him, and I like the way they have done everything, mm-hmm. And I think when they make it and they stay in the league, I think next season, because I think Coach Dromovich is a great coach, and they can make miracles next season.
Are you going to join him as an assistant?
No, he has an assistant, and I don't want to make some issues inside there.
Sorry, I'm just joking about that.
So I will join them from Ghana with my mind from Germany.
Support them from
support
that side.
Them, yes.
You've been such a sport, man, Hans. Thank you so much for joining us. There was so much to talk about, but time is never our friend on this show. Thank you. Enjoy your stay. Enjoy your week here. Enjoy watching the training tomorrow of TS Galaxy. Hopefully we'll get to meet before you go back to Germany as well. But thank you for gracing our show with your presence tonight.
Thank you to be here.
Highly appreciated. The legend, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, what a moment. Catch you tomorrow.